We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning and welcome to the morning briefing for Wednesday, October 25th, 2017. I'm your host, Eric Dame. Jake Hughes is your producer, and I am excited about today's show. Why? Well, because coming up, we're going to talk to the Director of Veterans Affairs and Rehabilitation for the American Legion, Lou Celli. Lou's going to break down all the issues with choice and care and tell you what the Legion is offering to all veterans, not just Legion members, to help them navigate the tricky waters of the VA system. And later, a very, very special guest is going to join us. We have great guests every day on the show, but this is one that I'm really looking forward to. Senior Chief Don Shipley is going to join us today. And if you don't know who Senior Chief Shipley is now, you're going to be thanking me for bringing him to your attention later. He is a legendary member of the United States Navy SEALs, serving with both Team 1 and Team 2, and his service to the veteran community continues today as he finds and fixes issues that seem to pop up nearly every day with those weirdos who pretend to be Navy SEALs. His most recent catch was of one John Garofalo, who was recently featured on national television claiming to be a SEAL. Senior Chief Shipley saw him and said, "Huh, don't remember that guy." Looked into it, found out he wasn't one. There you go. We're going to talk to the Senior Chief about that, his career in the SEALs, his transition from active duty to veteran, and so much more coming up today. So yeah, a really, really good show coming up today. But that's what you've come to expect from us. And it starts, as usual, right now as we welcome Drill Sergeant Jake Hughes into the studio. Jake, good morning. How you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you, Art?
You don't sound very good. You sound like you were up late watching a baseball team, maybe.
Yeah, it's only game one.
Yeah, well, you know what? You were up against the best pitcher in baseball, and my prediction was that the Dodgers would win, and my reason for that, Clayton Kershaw, that he would win game one. They'll probably pitch him again in game four, so if it got to a 3-0 point, you're kind of already screwed at that point. But then he would also pitch game seven if it got to that point. If you have to face that guy three times in a series, it's just not going to work out very well for you in general. But yeah, it's only game one. They win the next two games. Then the next time Kershaw pitches, it's just to get things back to even. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that. But we will keep a very close eye on what's happening in the world of the World Series. The world of the World Series. You know what I realized? Yesterday is 1 week out from Halloween, Jake.
Really?
Yeah.
That's right, it is.
Huh. Halloween's the 31st. Yesterday was the 24th. 7 days from 24 to 31. So here's my question for you. Do you dress up for Halloween?
I probably will.
What are you going to be?
I'm not sure yet. Still working on that.
Yeah, I don't know for me either. Usually my favorite costume that I used to wear almost every year, because I'd go to parties and we'd have, you know, a party and then hand out candy to kids as they came up to the house or whatever. And in Jacksonville, I started doing it. I got this big kind of like, almost like Grim Reaper cloak, and it had a mask where you couldn't see my face, but I could see yours. And I would put on the gloves that were like skeleton hands and have a little a sickle, and I would stand perfectly still out there in the yard looking like a decoration. And then as the kids came up, I'd be like, "Murr," just move a little bit or make a little bit of noise. Oh, the reaction that you get. And then I would, of course, have to also look out and realize, like, okay, this child is too young, and if I move, they may never be the same again. So occasionally you'd do that. But with like the older kids, you'd do that. I had one like 12-year-old take a shot at me when I did that. Took a swing. Was like, threw the punch out there. A little right hook. Missed me, which was weird because I was a stationary target. So, you know, it
the
happens.
Effort was there. And that's, you know, good for that little kid. Fight back at your fears.
Yeah, there you go. My son is going to be a dragon for Halloween.
Ooh.
My wife is going to be the mother of dragons from Game of Thrones.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so
nice.
He'll be a little dragon and she'll be the mother of dragons. So yeah, it's a pretty It's a pretty interesting little thing there.
Are you
going to
do the same costume as before?
I don't know what I'm going to do, if anything. You know what? I've worked most of the most recent Halloween, so I haven't had an opportunity.
I wonder if CBS lets us come to work in our costumes on Halloween.
I would think so. Why not? Why wouldn't you come to work in your costume on Halloween? I think, as a matter of fact, you have to come to work in your costume next Tuesday. We got to see what you're going to be. You got to figure that out, but then you got to come in and do it.
Oh, you're talking about me specifically, me.
Let's have everybody do it. Why not? We're a team here. We're looking at a lot of team stuff that's happening right around the same time.
As with everything else in life, I'll do it if everyone else is doing it.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about...
I'm very much a lemming.
We're talking about starting, maybe everybody here that has a beard, which includes both of us, shaving those off right around that time on the 31st, or actually the 1st of November. So... we'll see. Maybe the Halloween costume thing. I think there would be people who would be interested in doing that. But I don't know that everybody's going to dress up as something for Halloween. So if everybody doesn't dress up as something, it's hard for everybody to come in as something. But, you know, if you have a costume, yeah, wear it in. Who's going to stop you? Taking a look around at the headlines. You know, this interesting story of Niger, where I've talked to Matt Saintsing about it, who's one of our ace reporters here at CBS Radio's Connecting Vets. And Matt is not only a great reporter, he's also a bit of a subject matter expert when it comes to Africa. Actually did his thesis for his master's on different things to deal with Africa. He and I also both took Swahili in college. Now, I took Swahili because I needed a third year of language, and I heard it was a fun class, and I heard it wasn't the most difficult class, and it was both of those things. It was a lot of fun, and for me, the language made sense. Now, I've totally forgotten just about everything except for how to say my name. So if you put me in, you know, Tanzania or someplace like that, I could tell everyone, like, hey, this is my name. Oh, I can order a beer, too.
Awesome. That's the important stuff, your name and beer.
Cold beer. That's actually how they say it. Cold beer. Because if you order just a beer, it comes like room temperature, apparently. So you've got to order it cold to get a cold one. I remember that as well. But there's a lot of questions that people have had of, well, what are we doing over there? Why are we in Niger? Well, the reason that we're in Niger, as well as many other places in Africa, Central Africa and North Africa, is that Islamic extremism has taken hold in a lot of those places. There's a great podcast that we did last week that I don't know if it ever got up because there were some technical difficulties with it. But Matt and I and Philbert Briggs talking about, the reasons behind that. And because you got to realize Al-Qaeda and, ISIS, those groups, a lot of people think of them as being confined to the Middle East, but that's not true. First off, Afghanistan, let's do a little geography lesson here first. Afghanistan is not part of the Middle East.
No.
Afghanistan is Southwest Asia. It is outside of the Middle East. Iran, you can make the argument that that's part of the Middle East, certainly, but Iran culturally has more in common with a lot of Southwest Asia, like Afghanistan. Northern and Western Afghanistan in particular have more in common with the Persians, but Afghanistan is really more closely related to Pakistan and even India than it is to Iraq, Syria, you know, places like that, or Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, the stands that are up above Afghanistan. You'll also notice there are no countries in the Middle East that have Stan at the end of their name, whereas you have Pakistan, Afghanistan, Uzbekistan, you can just look at that tie right there. These groups, though, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, other extremist organizations that are tied either loosely or closely to those, they are not limited to the Middle East. They are in the Philippines with the Abu Sayyaf rebels, who have been affiliated with both Al-Qaeda and ISIS over the years. They are in most of Africa, northern and central Africa in particular. You're going to find a lot of ties to them there. The country of Mali, that most people only know as a place where Madonna adopted a kid from, Mali actually had a large segment of the country taken over by rebels who were Muslims and also happened to be kind of loosely tied to Al-Qaeda at the time. They were called the Tuaregs, and it was called the Tuareg Rebellion, but there's a lot more going on than the average person realizes, and even more than the average vet realizes. Because you may think Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan, that's it. Those are the hot points. That's where the combat's going on. No, it's not. And why the reason that we're in, like, Niger, who were the people, a couple of them, I believe two out of the four, what were they that were killed in Niger?
What do you mean?
Like, what did they do?
They were instructors.
What's the big story, though? Green Berets, right?
Yeah.
What do Green Berets do?
Well, over there, they're instructors. They help to teach the military how to fight against...
Yeah, the primary mission of a Green Beret is training our allies to fight so that our service members don't have to go in there. That's what they do. So people who are acting shocked, like, well, what are we doing in Niger? That's what Green Berets do. They go to places where we don't want to be to train the people who are there to take care of it themselves. It's how it works. I mean, this is basic military knowledge when you talk about what the Green Berets do, the different jobs of different special forces groups. That is their... My microphone is all loose here. It's weirding me out. All right. So it is their main primary job is training foreign forces to fight the way that we do, to help take care of things, because we don't want to have to send the regular army and the Marine Corps and the Navy and the Air Force into Niger and every other country where this is taking place. I mean, if we were in every country where it was taking place with our regular forces, oh my God, the cost and expense of everything there, it would be astronomical. It would also be untenable. It's not something that we could do for a very long time. We do have limits, despite being far and away the strongest military in the world. The other thing that we've seen about this is politicians who were in the room when it was explained that we were going to places like Niger, politicians who signed off on funding for it, saying, well, I didn't know that we were over there. What do you mean you didn't know? You were in the room. You weren't paying attention. That's what you're telling us, right, Jake?
Yeah, pretty much. They signed the bill without reading it, or they had a page read it and just give them the basics of it, and they didn't pay attention to what they were doing.
Because it's probably something that didn't affect their constituency directly or the lobbyists that come up for them directly. And this is both sides. This isn't one party or the other. We've seen various people who we know you were there. They tell us who's where when they read off these things, when they do them. They signed off on it. I mean, one of the people who's in charge of budgeting for things like that is Senator McCain. He said he didn't know that we were over there. Well, Senator, you were there. Why aren't you paying attention? This is... So frustrating when you hear a story like this. Everything about this story has been frustrating. First, with the involvement of the Congresswoman Frederica Wilson and President Trump on the back and forth over the phone call, which, you know, from the start of that, I had some questions about the account that was put forth by the Congresswoman for a couple of reasons. One, how come we weren't hearing the same thing from the other three families? Two, why was there a Congresswoman in the car? Found out that she's actually a family friend of the family. But if you have a congressperson who's also called for impeachment of the president with no actual impeachable crime that was listed, just needs to be impeached for what? For being not someone that I like. If that's the kind of person who's making that statement, it throws up some red flags for some people. And there's still an argument going back and forth over what he said, what he didn't say, who was there, who wasn't there. Various other Gold Star families have been pulled into it. You have the family that was up on stage at the Democratic convention, saying basically vote for Hillary Clinton, saying, well, they shouldn't politicize this. What? You were on stage at the Democratic National Convention politicizing your son's death. Don't tell anybody else. You, at that point, you lose the right to tell anyone not to politicize it when you were on the largest political stage doing the exact same thing. It's been a very strange and upsetting story in many ways, but hearing politicians, nationally elected politicians, say, well, I don't know why we're over in Niger. You don't? You signed off on it. You signed off on the funding in particular, Senator. You signed off on this, Congressman. You signed off on this, Senator. You were in the room. You checked in that day. They do roll call at the Senate and Congress. They make sure who's there, who's going to vote, who's going to be voting in absent. There's various other things
that
go
into it.
That
stuff is public record. We can look and say, okay, yeah, you were in the room.
Yeah. And when you tell us, like, well, I didn't know we were over there. When you were in the Army. Now, Jake, you did 13 years in the Army. As I mentioned earlier, Drill Sergeant Jake Hughes, you served as a drill sergeant at boot camp. If someone ever gave you the excuse like, well, I mean, yeah, I was there, but I didn't really hear what you were saying after you had given them instructions, how would that work out for him?
Then not too well. Yeah. That would not work out too well. So if it was a Joe that told me, oh, I wasn't really paying attention, he would have very sore arms very shortly.
Yeah, well, that might be considered hazing, as we've seen in the news recently.
Oh, you're right.
If you make people do
it. I just have to give them a stern talk. Well, no, I can't give them a stern talking to. That'd be offensive, too.
Gentle.
I just have to...
Gentle, Jake.
Yeah, gentle. I'd have to very politely, you know, request that next time he pay attention.
And, you know, it's not even like we're, like, the hardcore, like, yeah, man, the guys were in during Vietnam who were just, like, the beating people at basic and boot camp or whatever you call it. But yeah, the fact that some people aren't allowed to give PT... Like, you got information wrong on a quiz. Like, we were quizzing you on, what's the birthday of the Army? There you go, Jake. What's the birthday of the Army? Push. Push until you die.
Oh, shut
push
up.
Push until your arms fall off.
It's been a year. Shut up.
You've been out for a whole year.
Yeah.
Well, I know what the Navy's birthday is, partially because we just did a video.
Yeah. It was like last week.
October 13th, yeah. Which, you know what? I knew that date, but when they asked me about the Navy's birthday, the birth date that I gave them was actually for the chief petty officers. Because you know why? Outside, I mean, in big Navy world and in the Naval Academy world, the Navy's birthday is like a bigger deal. When you're in the Navy, particularly on the enlisted side, the chief petty officer's birthday is a bigger deal because the chiefs make it a big deal. It's like a huge deal. They have their khaki ball. You have the chiefs that have been selected for promotion to chief. That's when they have the right before. I mean, it's a big time period in the Navy for lots of reasons. So I actually gave the wrong birth date. I was like, it's in September, is it? No, it's October.
I'm pretty sure it's either in July or August.
Well, let's find out. I don't know what
Army's
birthday is. So Jake is going to look that up for us right now. Speaking of chiefs, we're going to have a retired senior chief coming on to the show. So happy that we're going to have Senior Chief Don Shipley join us. He is a legend in many ways. A legend for his service while he was in the Navy, serving with those United States Navy SEALs that we all know and love. Oh, you got the date now?
It was July 29th, 1775.
There you go. So a year before our independence, which was July 4th, just under a year before. Why couldn't they just do the birthday on July 4th, wrap it into the holiday? You know what I mean? Would have been an option.
I don't know. What are you asking me?
So Senior Chief Shipley's going to come on, a legend for his time serving as a United States Navy SEAL. And then afterwards, he has done a lot. The Extreme SEAL experience, which allows people to go through basically a reasonable facsimile of SEAL training. Not the actual training, obviously. When you go through it, you are not a SEAL, but you get a taste for what they do. So he's the man who developed that. Actually, I believe the program started when he developed it for a program that I was in as a kid, the United States Naval Sea Cadet Corps, which is kind of like a Boy Scouts for bad dudes. Not bad like bad. Bad people, but you essentially got to learn everything about the military. I remember going, that's where the first place I ever shot was with the Sea Cadets when I was 11 years old at Camp Curtis Guild in Massachusetts. So he had some involvement with building this SEAL experience for them, which was kind of almost a recruiting tool for the Navy, like letting those Sea Cadets who were already interested in the Navy, those who might be interested in the SEAL program. And this was before September 11th. This was long before that. So this is when SEALs weren't quite as well known as they are now. There's been a lot more recently coming to light about the SEALs, and people are a lot more focused on it, particularly since Team 6 took out Osama bin Laden. But prior to that, I mean, what most people knew about the Navy SEALs was that Charlie Sheen made a movie about them.
And G.I. Jane.
Oh, yeah, Demi Moore and that guy. Who was the guy who played the instructor, the Buds instructor?
It was the guy who played Aragorn, Viggo Mortensen.
Viggo Mortensen. I knew who it was. But again, back during the time when Senior Chief Shipley served, he got out in the early 2000s, served 23 years, so came in like back in the 80s, I believe, and just a different time. You know, now a lot of people could join specifically to go to the SEAL program. It's actually set up now where you go in to do that specifically. Before, even when I came in 98, you joined and you had to pick, if you wanted to go into the SEAL program to even try for it, you had to first go to A school, so basically your AIT or whatever the other different services call it, where you learn a job, and then you would go off to BUDS after finishing that school. One of the jobs that was available was photographer's mate, who went to DIMFOS with me. So they were there. You had a lot of corpsmen who were going to do it, but it'll be interesting to talk to him not only about his career and about what he's done since, particularly his and often very funny videos that he puts up on YouTube of him confronting and letting those fake Navy SEALs, and boy, there are a lot of them.
Yeah,
I mean, he could spend all his time doing it.
I love stolen valor videos. It's just so much fun to see people get stuck and get asked questions that they obviously have no clue what they're talking about.
And when they're doing that to someone who is a legit Navy SEAL, I shared on Twitter when I was saying yesterday that he's going to come on to the program, a duffel blog story that the headline was "Fake Navy SEAL Outs Don Shipley as Real Navy SEAL." So, so you know, spinning it around on its head. But that's how well known he is. I mean, this guy, he is great at it, and he calls these guys up and puts it, you know, records it on video. And you'll see some of them get really like, "Who are you to question my service?" I'll be like, "Well, I'm Don Shipley." "Well, who's Don Shipley?" "Oh, I was a senior chief, retired. I was a SEAL for 23 years. You know, never heard of you. Everybody's heard of me. I've never heard of you. So why don't you tell me why that is, son?" Yeah, there's a lot of interesting things going on there. So we're going to talk to him about that. We're going to, you know, I think one of the interesting things is we just mentioned Halloween a moment before. I think we might have an article to write on this, and I think it might be a fun one for our website, connectingbets.com. If you haven't checked it out yet, you definitely should.
What's that?
Our top five stories there right now. ASU's new Brotherhood uniforms honoring Pat Tillman and veterans. Vietnam vet who saved dozens receives the Medal of Honor. A Marine's petition seeking to honor a fellow fallen Marine. General Dunford speaking out on something, and why the U.S. military is in Niger, which we just talked about. But you ever go to any of those websites that do like Halloween costumes? Have you ever been to like a Halloween costume website? How many military costumes are there and how awful are they?
Oh, wow. They're, you know, especially, well, the ones like, the only ones I can think of are the more risque ones.
Sexy sailor. That exactly. Kind of thing. Yeah, there are some interesting ones out there. And I think that could be a pretty fun little article to do, a little slideshow to put through on the photos and, you know, let people know, like, hey, if you're interested in being a sexy sailor or soldier, you can find it at this website. But yeah, those are, there's I've seen some okay ones out there that are pretty interesting. Some that look reasonable facsimile of a military uniform. Other ones where you're just like, the hell is this? What is, what? No, this is not all right. What's your favorite Halloween costume and least favorite Halloween costume that you've worn over
when I was
years.
A kid? Oh, okay. I was a Ghostbuster for 3 years in a row because wow. I love that movie. The worst Halloween costume, probably when I was about 7, I think. I went as a generic skeleton. It was kind of boring. But other than that, I've been Freddy Krueger. I was a Power Ranger 1 year, you know.
See, that was after my time. I remember being Superman 1 year, and I was so proud of my Superman costume. Now, my Superman costume was basically Superman pajamas and I think red underwear on the outside of them. So instead of the red Superman S on the chest, it actually had like Superman and a picture of Superman on the chest. When I was in, I think, preschool, and my mother, I'm sure, is listening to this and will correct me if I'm wrong for whatever reason, but I was going to be in like some sort of like a winter show or something like that at the preschool. And I refused to do it unless they let me introduce the whole thing as Superman. So I went out on stage with like, you know, the whole fake flying. I made my own flying noises without a microphone. So I don't even know if anyone could hear it, but just shh with my hands out in front of me. Yeah, I was a weird little kid. Still am to this day, a weird little kid. And I see some of that in my son and it makes me laugh very hard. Let's see, best costume. My first costume was a pumpkin. My mother made me a pumpkin, just made the costume using like, I don't know, vacuum tubes or something. And I was this big pumpkin thing. And I didn't know what Halloween was. I didn't really understand it. So she just had me dressed as a pumpkin with my little, you know, the little pumpkin bag that you would have, basically. Those little plastic ones.
That everyone had.
Yeah, the jack-o'-lantern candy holder. I don't know what you would actually call it, but she said, just go up and knock on the door and say trick or treat. So I went up and I did it. And then she said, I came running back with my eyes wide open and said, candy. They gave me candy. I did know kids who tried to trick or treat like every day of the year once they first found out about it. My son did that after his first Halloween. Like a week later, he's like, can we go trick or treating again tonight? Like, I don't really think that that's allowed.
I don't think you can do that, buddy.
And he was very upset by that. But hey, what are you going to do? We're now 6 days away from that. We're also coming up on Veterans Day. And Rob Jones, if you don't know about Rob Jones' journey, well, visit robjonesjourney.com. Go through the archive of our morning show at connectingvets.com. You'll find our interviews with him. 31 marathons in 31 days. He's about halfway through right now. He's going to be running on Veterans Day in Washington, D.C. The day before Veterans Day, he's in Baltimore. So if you happen to be in that Capitol Beltway area, a couple of opportunities to get out there and show your solidarity with one of our amazing, one of our most amazing wounded warriors. An incredible guy. He's already biked across the country, I believe twice. On, again, two prosthetic legs, lost both of his legs to an IED in Afghanistan and has not let that slow him down. In fact, life has kind of picked up its pace for Rob Jones. He was recently on the Jocko Willink podcast. Jocko Willink, another SEAL, another big member of the SEAL community who's had a very popular podcast and books and stuff like that. So you're going to have the opportunity to join Rob if you're out on the West Coast, his California runs and all that stuff coming up soon. Texas, Oklahoma, that's still on the way for him. And then to the Capitol is where he will end his run on Veterans Day. Right now, our run for today, just getting started. Lucelli of the American Legion coming up after this.
Helping military veterans stay connected.
We make it easy.
We are CBS Radio's ConnectingVets.com. Connecting vets every day.
Online and all over social media. Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter at Connecting Vets.
Welcome back to the Morning Briefing, Wednesday, October 25th, 2017 edition. I'm your host, Eric Dame. Jake Hughes is your producer on the other side of the glass and ConnectingVets.com. That's your website. And we mean that, created by veterans, for veterans, and focusing entirely on veterans' issues, news, information, even some entertainment here and there. If you haven't checked out ConnectingVets.com, I encourage you to do so each and every day. And follow us on social media. We are at ConnectingVets on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Little tap on your phone, little click of your mouse, that can change your life for the better. Each and every member of our team is either a veteran themselves, like me and Jake, 13 years in the Navy for me, 13 years in the Army for Jake. And we also have, our fellow veterans from the Air Force, the Navy, the Marine Corps on our team, as well as military spouses and children of veterans. So we have that veteran perspective. We're trying to do everything we can to get the good stuff out to you, which brings me to my next guest. He is a member of the United States Navy SEAL community, a 23-plus, 24-year veteran of the United States Navy. He retired as a senior chief and has gone on to do great things since then, including the Extreme SEAL experience and some amazing YouTube videos. And we're going to find out all about him coming up right now. He is Senior Chief Don Shipley. Senior, how are you doing this morning?
I'd be doing great if I got a deer last night. I didn't get a deer last night, so having my coffee, and I'm on the Eastern Shore here in Cambridge, Maryland now.
Oh, okay. Well, very cool. Not too far from me, actually. So, you know, as I mentioned, Senior, you joined, I believe, in the late 70s. You joined the Navy. You served for over 20 years. So tell me just a little bit about your service. You know, when you joined, where you were from, and why you joined the Navy at that time.
Well, I hate to say it, I quit school and joined the Navy. I wasn't going anywhere. I wasn't a bad kid, but I knew there was a big world out there, and I wanted to see it. So with my parents, talked them into letting me go, and that was in 1979. I got my education in the Navy. I saw the world. I did everything I want. I owe everything to the Navy, my family, and it was very, very good to us. So I still defend the Navy with the stolen valor thing that I do. And
and you're doing
it right up here in Eastern Maryland. We were on the Eastern Shore. My father was a commercial airline pilot, a fighter pilot before that. So he flew out of Baltimore and joined right here.
Wow, very cool. And of course, you joined at a time where things were a little different when it came to special operations and the SEALs in particular, where even when I joined in 98, people joined as a different rate and then eventually went off to BUDS, as opposed to now where they bring people in specifically on track to go to BUDS. When did you make that decision that you wanted to become a Navy SEAL, and what was it that pushed you in that direction?
Well, back then, and you'll recall this, when you went to a recruiting office, the office was filled with pictures of aircraft carriers and jets and submarines.
Yep.
They're filled with SEAL stuff now. There's none of that. SEAL became a big name. Back then, you know, you just heard hushed stories about SEALs. The recruiting manual had about a paragraph in it for recruiters to talk about. You just didn't hear about them. I did my time overseas. I got stationed in Japan for a few years, and I transferred and went to San Diego on a ship called the USS McKee, the Love Boat. It was one of the first ships, the second to ever have females on it, and I got the prettiest one off of that ship. It was second-class boatswain mate at that. When she got out and we got married, and one of us had to leave that ship, and I got stationed in Coronado and saw the guys going through training. I even asked somebody, who are those guys? And I just thought it looked cool. You know, I grew up with the guns. I grew up with hunting. And guns, grenades, explosives, are you kidding me? I'm going to try that. And somehow the stars aligned, and it worked out. It was demanding, but you compete every day. And I'm a competitor. And they'd release us out of our corrals and let the stallions compete. And I just loved every minute of it. So.
And you did that for many years. Of course, we're speaking with Senior Chief Don Shipley, retired United States Navy SEAL. You became a SEAL in the 80s, I believe, and then retired in a totally different era in 2003. Let's move to that point. You know, I think we think of SEALs as kind of having their ducks in a row, having their stuff together, being prepared for everything. How prepared do you feel you were for that transition from, you know, active duty SEAL Don Shipley to veteran Don Shipley? What was that period of time in life like for you?
Well, I had done, you know, I graduated SEAL training in 85 and was training guys in the desert in California for demolitions when 9/11 happened. That class was the infamous class that you can watch on the Discovery Channel, class 234. I was teaching those guys demolitions when 9/11 happened. At that point, I was an instructor, an advanced SEAL training instructor for BUDS. And I had done all my platoons. I'd done more than most, you know, in platoons. If I wasn't teaching SEALs how to carry a gun, I was carrying one myself. And I was getting too old at that point to go back to a team. And the deployment cycles in SEAL team are very strange. You know, you think if any conflict comes up that every SEAL in the Navy goes to that conflict, and they don't. You are trained extensively with a group of guys, another platoon, for at least 15, 16, 18 months, sometimes we did over that. Almost 2 years I was in one platoon before we deployed. And to do that all again at my age, it wasn't going to happen. But Blackwater would give me a gun. So I was one of the first guys to go down to Blackwater. And so I talked to a friend of mine, and he was the detailer, and he writes your orders and everything. He's a great friend of mine today. And I said, Jim, what's the fastest you saw anybody ever retire? He said 30 days. 20 days later, I was out. So I went to Blackwater and carried a gun with those guys for a few years. And the transition at that point wasn't hard for me. You know, I wanted to go overseas. I was going to get a piece of this war somehow. I did my time in Pakistan and Afghanistan, but I just realized one day I'm just doing it all again. I'm retired, but I'm still deploying. I'm still doing this. I'm leaving my wife, leaving the family. And we took all that money that we got, and we invested in real estate. We did great there, and then Extreme SEAL started, and kind of the rest is history. I didn't have a rough transition.
Well, that's good to hear. We like hearing from the veterans that have been able to transition well and kind of maybe even get a blueprint of how they did that to pass on to our fellow veterans. You know, whether someone is a SEAL while they're in, whether someone is a bosun's mate in the Navy, infantry in the Army, there are certain things that translate, I think, to each and every one of us. But one thing that only certain people are capable of doing, and you mentioned it a little bit earlier, is confronting the stolen valor issue, which is a major one in the SEAL community. And it's interesting you mentioned the BUDS Class 234 documentary. I actually know a guy who was part of that you probably know by the name of Mike Getka. I met him while I was in the Navy. I met other people when I was in the Navy and the Sea Cadets before that who were SEALs. And I would say over, you know, my 13-year Navy career, I probably met a dozen to 20 SEALs or something like that. And then I get out and it seems every time I go to a bar in New York City or anywhere in the country, I'm meeting two or three SEALs a night. Where do you think this stolen valor issue with the SEALs comes from? And when did you first see it start becoming a bigger problem?
You know, this phenomenon with the stolen valor has gone on since, I don't know, I'm sure there were guys that claimed they were with the 300 in Thermopylae, that they were at Pickett's last charge, that they were with Washington at Valley Forge when they were not. But you could only project it down a couple of bar stools at your local pub. It never went anywhere else.
Right.
But with the age of the internet, you can be anyone you want to be now. You can send this stuff globally. LinkedIn, Facebook, you know, you can, the dating websites are terrible. And people just make this up. There's some part of their life that's missing from them. So they start that. We had it when I was in the Navy a bit. There's some stories, you know, that would go on of guys impersonating SEALs on bases, like that. But it really picked up steam back when John Wayne released the, you know, the Green Berets came out with John Wayne.
Right.
Everybody was a Green Beret. You know, SEALs didn't have their movies. And when the Red October came out, everybody turned into a Submariner. You know, it's just these things, you know, the SEAL movies that came out and the books that are written. And now that Bud's Glass, I get more verifications for guys. Basically what I do is I'll check a name of a guy that for somebody that, you know, if you want to know if your neighbor Bob Smith was ever a Navy SEAL, you can just ask me and I'll check the list, and if his name is not on that list, you know, Bob was never a SEAL. And it's quite that simple. A lot of people struggle with that the SEALs are all secret and they put chips in our head and they burn our records and change our identities, and that's just total crap. You're never going to get a VA benefit. You'll never get into a commissary if any of that was true. There's classified operations, but the guys that do them are not. And just like your high school records, your college records, your police records, voting records, there's records kept. There's records. The Navy keeps records of who goes through what and who does what, and it has to.
Right.
And so, I don't know. It's a twisted road of how it all got to this point, but I just really don't like those guys. And a lot of people think they're just harmless barroom boasters, and there's plenty of them. And I don't care about those guys. I go after the worst of the worst. And these are some terrible guys ripping people off financially, murderers, rapists. I mean, there's always something really, really bad ones. I'll verify any of the names, but I really sink my teeth into the really bigger clowns.
You know, and it's not that big of a community. That's the interesting thing about the SEAL community is that I know that the SEALs have, you know, even reunions and stuff where you have a lot of big get-togethers, and you might not know each and every member who's gone through of the, there's like 10,000 who've gone through Navy Special Forces training, I believe, that are around today or something like that. You might not know each one of them, but it doesn't seem like it's that difficult for you to verify it, is it?
SEAL to SEAL, no, it's not. I mean, it takes place within a nanosecond of meeting another SEAL. I mean, you're firing these questions back and forth, and it's so easy to verify these guys. But, yeah, it's, I don't know how it all kind of got started or how it got so big, but there's been a mystique with SEALs and the books and the movies written about them, and you know, titles, special, you know, when you say special, you know, everybody's, you know, gets all worked up about that, and clandestine, covert, and you see the Bin Laden thing, the Somali pirate things, you know, even the tragic things as lone survivor and extortion flight. And it just, guys are lined up around the recruiter's office day. They're around the block to become SEALs. And,
right.
But for some other guys, it just takes on a whole new meaning, impersonation. And it's not flattery. We're not flattered by it a bit.
We're speaking with retired U.S. Navy SEAL Senior Chief Don Shipley about his career, about his efforts to combat stolen valor, which have gotten you, quite a few headlines over the years. And recently, there was one where a gentleman named John Garofalo appeared on Fox News. This guy has an incredible ability to work with glass. It turns out he served in the Navy for a few years, but he was not a SEAL, yet still claimed to have been one. You called him out on that. It turns out he wasn't. He's now admitted I was never a SEAL. A lot of questions arise around things like that. You know, why do you think this keeps happening in this day and age where they know people like you, people like John from This Ain't Hell, people like Jug, who wrote the book on stolen valor, literally, are out there and are going to find them. Why do you think they still do it, Don?
Well, in John's case, you know, claiming the SEAL Vietnam vet, he'd been doing this for a very long time. He was doing this before the internet caught up to him. And once your family, your friends, all the American Legion, the VFW guys, all your coworkers, when everyone thinks for years and years that you're a SEAL, and some opportunity like to Fox News or something, I mean, you can't back out of it at that point.
Right.
The younger guys, there's not a whole lot of that that goes on anymore. You know, guys dumb enough to get on national TV. Look at Tim Poe, Timothy Poe, that, you know, the stuttering singer that got on America's Got Talent and told them that he stuttered. Guy sang like a canary, but he stuttered. And I got that from an IED overseas in Iraq or Afghanistan. What he said. Well, his buddies were watching. People watched, and it's a there's more of a power wave going through now of guys that are going after these guys. When Cy Robertson from Duck Dynasty mentioned that he served in Vietnam, you could almost hear the keyboards clicking no matter where you were in the United States looking for that information and pulling his records. There's a lot of junior G men out there now, and they do some good and they do some bad. It's you got to be really talented at doing this, and you can't make a mistake. But after that, Cy, you would see them posting pictures, you know, on Duck Dynasty of Cy and trucks in Vietnam and behind sandbag bunkers in Vietnam to show, you know, the guy did it. So it's when you start throwing that out today, everybody's checking on you. So, but the younger guys, it doesn't, there's the occasional dumb guy that'll get up there on TV, the occasional dumb guy that'll post some crazy video up on YouTube, but a lot of that's gone. A lot of that's gone, but the old guys are still there.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that, as I did serve in Afghanistan while in the Navy, and remember being at a bar and restaurant in my hometown of Stamford, Connecticut, and hearing a guy talk about being in Afghanistan, and I asked him where, and he told me Baghdad. Baghdad, Afghanistan. It was like, come on, man, at least do your research if you're going to try and get this stuff right. And it was kind of fun to kind of out him as being a phony. And if people check out your videos on YouTube, it seems like while these people make you pretty angry, it seems like you also get a little bit of a sense of enjoyment of giving them a little bit of the business over their claims, even when some of these guys will say, well, who are you to question my service? And then you point out, well, I'm Don Shipley. I'm a retired U.S. Navy SEAL. What's that feeling like when you can almost hear them over the phone realize, uh-oh, I may have stepped in it now?
Well, look at Garofalo. For people that don't know, a few weeks ago, he got on Fox News, and they did a big feature about him presenting this huge glass and bronze presidential seal to Donald Trump. He was going to give that to the president. He'd give it to Reagan. He'd give one to Reagan. He'd give one to Bush. And they highlighted him as being a decorated Navy SEAL, Vietnam vet with all these purple hearts that he was missing in action twice. And I'll tell you, the first thing is when you hear he was a SEAL in Vietnam, your antennas go straight through the roof. Yeah. There was less than 300 guys. 300 SEALs ever served in Vietnam in the entire war. So not a lot of them left, but when I called that guy, we heard that aired, and I called him. He'd been answering the phone feverishly all morning. I mean, he was excited. He was all ready to talk to another guy, and I boxed him in, and I went to work on him about his class number and the team, and there's no listing of you ever serving as a Navy SEAL. And he goes, you're that guy on the internet, aren't you? guy. I'm that guy. And I had worked with him of retracting the story. I said, you got to get that taken down, John. If you do that, I will let this go. I always offer these guys a way out. I'm too busy for this. And he called back a few hours later, and he said, I talked to Fox News. They were retracting the story. Well, that was another lie. He did not do that. They kept airing it, and it went on for a long time. But, yeah, I kind of get the slaughterhouse mentality sometimes with these guys. Nothing else surprises me anymore, but it's surprising how many of them do know me.
Yeah.
So you go over to their, you'll be over at their house one time, you being a regular Navy guy and that phony being a SEAL, and you'll go, have you ever seen this Don Shipley guy on YouTube? We got to watch this. And he'll laugh through the videos, ha, 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 with beads of sweat all over his forehead. You know, he's like, oh my God, it's that guy.
It's like the Grim Reaper coming for somebody. As far as when it comes to stolen valor within the Navy SEAL community, you're kind of like the Grim Reaper for the phonies, Don. Do you take a little bit of pride in that?
My intention, the first guy I started with, he was giving training tips to kids, a kid that wanted to become a SEAL. And, as if the SEAL training isn't hard enough already, you're taking training tips from a guy who never had the courage to go out there in the first place. And when I outed him, he threatened to have me killed by the Gambino crime family. His uncle was one of the members of Gambino. And it just made me mad, man. So I somehow created this phony Navy SEAL of the week, and shoved it right down his throat. And it went on from there. And my goal in all of this has always been to make the words phony Navy SEAL as widely recognized as the term Navy SEAL is. And I get these emails just constantly. This is a constant thing. I'll verify 10 or 12 of them today easy. I never knew there was such a thing as a fake Navy SEAL. Well, yeah. A lot of this meeting online, I tell you, one of the good ones are these dating websites.
Oh, yeah.
And Christian Mingle is the worst. There's something about being a fake SEAL and a Christian that people believe you more. So I get them from Plenty of Fish. I get them from, all over. But something about, I'll ask, did you meet him on Christian Mingle? So, I don't know. These guys are terrible, man.
They are. And one man who is working to find out those phonies and bring their terribleness right to the surface and expose them, Senior Chief Don Shipley, retired United States Navy SEAL. And Senior, before we finish up, and we've only got a few minutes left, I did want to talk to you about the Extreme SEAL experience. Because, there are those people who, for whatever reason, didn't have the opportunity, didn't have the desire at that point in their life to try and go out for the SEALs and go through that training. They get to get a bit of a taste of it through the Extreme SEAL experience.
Let me stop you.
Yeah.
Let me stop you there. Perhaps I should have the other day. It just caught up to me when we talked. But being in the Navy and getting too old for SEAL team, I retired.
Oh, okay.
We ran that course for 10 seasons, pushing guys off rappel towers, shoving them out of helicopters, all the cool guns and everything we did. And we just had a great time. And much like joining the Navy, retiring, SEALs get bored. And I was looking for another something to do. So we started a charity here in Maryland for the wounded guys. I just had two badly wounded Marines leave here 2 days ago on Sunday from Deer Home. So it's called Extreme SEAL Adventures. And sticking close to Extreme SEAL. Extreme SEAL Adventures. And we got a nice hunting property up here on the water. My field right outside my door is filled with geese now. So goose, duck, turkey, deer, and it's just me and my wife. It's a very small little charity. We just bring the guys down and their families down. We have a great time with them because we entertain well and we enjoy having them down. And it's just something for us to give back a little bit. So I think I'm going to die right here on the Eastern Shore with a goose call in my mouth and be happy.
That's not the worst way to go out. I can certainly think of many worse ways that one can finish up their time on this earth. Now, Don, as you reflect on your career, as you reflect on this kind of second career that you've had as a veteran, whether it was working with Blackwater, the real estate that you talked about, finding the phony SEALs out there and doing the good work that you've been doing there. When you look back on everything, are you happy with how everything's gone with your life at this point? I mean, you've still got plenty of years ahead of you, but at this point, when you look back on the life of Senior Chief Don Shipley, United States Navy, retired, what do you feel and what do you think when you look back on it?
I just don't have any regrets. There's nothing else I wish I would have done. You know, when you look at it, I wish I would have done this or wish I would have done that. Well, you don't know how that would have turned out either. And somehow I've just been kind of blessed. I've got a very strong wife. Of course, she's a bosunmate. You know, the whole family, the support. My brother's a Marine. The other one's a Ranger. Father, grandfathers. You know, it's been a big military family. And that's what, you know, I aspire to do, and I accomplished that. And so far, I can't nail down anything that I've failed at. You know, I've certainly hit my bumps in the road, but it's just all been positive and good. And it all started in Easton, Maryland, sitting down with that recruiter as a young punk 17-year-old. And the Navy gave him a shot, man. So no regrets. I loved it all.
Things have worked out well. And Senior Chief Shipley, we want to thank you so much for joining us on the Morning Briefing today. It's been an absolute pleasure. And anytime that you want to come back on and talk about anything, you are more than welcome to join us, Senior.
Well, give me a call and we'll do it. And thanks. Thanks for your service and everyone else's and your staff out there. Appreciate what you guys do. It means a lot.
We've been listening to The Morning Briefing here this Wednesday, October 25th, 2017 edition. I'm your host, Eric Dame. Jay Hughes is your producer. We'll be back tomorrow. Another fantastic show on the way. Paralympian and veteran, captain of the U.S. Paralympic sled hockey team, is going to join us on the show tomorrow, and so much more. As we do each and every day, we wish you a safe day on this fine Navy Day. Have a good one. Check out Connecting Vets. Follow us at Connecting Vets on social media. And we'll see you here bright and early tomorrow morning.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.